Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming out and taking time for your busy schedule to attend our April meeting. Prior to the budget tonight, we'll have a moment of silent reflection to contemplate our awesome responsibility to our students, our employees, and our taxpayers. So please rise. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Looking at the board attendance this evening, it appears that all board members are present. And I should point out that prior to our school board meeting, the board met in an executive session to discuss a few personnel and legal issues. Now we'll move to approval of the agenda for this evening. I have a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as is.
A second.
A motion and a second. All in favor of approval of the agenda, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, the agenda is approved. And now is the first of two opportunities for comments from the public. If any member of the public would like to make a comment, please come to one of the microphones, state your name and address, and make your brief comment. Seeing none, we'll move on to, we got two special presentations this evening, and I'll turn it over to Dr. Peters.
Thank you very much. I am incredibly excited for this opportunity to share with you tonight, not with my counsel because I have none, but the colleagues in the room. It was 2 years ago, almost to the day, that I entered the board meeting and where you approved my acceptance, and many of you are probably regretting what it was. And there it was 2 years ago, almost to the day. And the weekend before I started, I had the opportunity, even before being employed at Dallas Town, working at the middle school, to see the first performance of my time here. Having seen last year as well, it is just, it's amazing. And I can't wait for you to see what's happening tonight, and you have to fly hopefully by now. They gave me one because I would never remember the dates, and offered that we should pass them out before I get up so I don't have to try and remember the dates again, so you have them now. But I'm just very excited. Ms. Strauber is, as you know, she teaches music. First year here, and is taking on the awesome responsibility. How she does it, I have no idea. She is amazing. So I'm going to turn it over to Scuttle. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Scuttle. I can tell about Scuttle because I just looked it up on the internet.
Why don't you give us just a minute to reposition ourselves so we can...
So why don't you take a minute and reposition yourself? And while we're doing...
Hello, thank you for having us today. We are the cast of The Little Mermaid Junior. Our Seaworthy performance will be taking place February 27th, 28th, and 29th at 7 p.m. and a 2 o'clock matinee on the 29th. This information is all provided on the half sheets we handed out. We will be performing two songs today. Our first is Ariel's Part of Your World, which takes place in her grotto.
Thank you. got a proper station and then a meet to the floor. Don't walk away, that's why I'm on. I'll walk along, yeah, please. I'll be down in the mud, under the sea.
Again, thank you for your support and for having us today. Our shows are February 27th, 28th, and 29th at 7 p.m. and the 2 o'clock matinee on the 29th. We all hope you enjoy our speaker tonight.
Good job. Good job. Well done.
I was going to make a comment, something to the effect of Dr. Fletcher, you can hear all this in your musicals. This is why. I didn't know if they did musicals at the intermediate school. Special needs.
Yeah, I know special needs, but I'm not sure. I know, you know, we should have them do a teaser or something. I might not have done on the thing.
Excellent. Thank you very much. What a talented group of people. And talk back to follow Dr. Peters.
Well, that was my presentation.
I will say, when you watch the high school musical, and see the amazing talent. Just remember this night because it starts at the middle school. Just want to put that out there. It starts at the middle school like that. So tonight, I just want to share a few things about career pathways. And there's a lot of different angles here. I want to start off by showing you. The official career standards benchmark. As you know, part of the Future Ready PA Index is. There's three buckets, and this is one of them. That is our score from this past year. Basically, what that means is we are well above the state average, as you can see. Right now, the requirement is to be above the state average. We are 5% below that. It's going to be important, not because of the score, but because of how we got there. We have the opportunity for the very first class that shows a pathway last year, the current ninth graders. We have the breakdown of the pathways that they selected as possible things for their future. So I'm just having to take a look at that really quickly. It's our first year, of course, of having this data, so we also get to see this over time. Do they stay on the pathway? Are they getting anything similar interest? How does it vary from year to year? Which will help inform us of how we need to. But that was our first year that we have.
Dr. Peters, if I may just interject, one of the things later today we're also reviewing the post-graduation survey, and we are aligning that, we've aligned that to the pathway. So it's going to be interesting going from 8th grade, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, 2 years out to 5 years out, to see how these trends emerge. And more importantly, from a district resource standpoint, where we put our resources in our programming. So I give the middle school great credit for this piece, and also informed for high school. Sorry to interrupt, but that's an important point.
You're allowed.
Thank you.
One of the first things we did, one of the first impacts we felt we could have with career pathways is how we aligned on our expedition and trips this year for 8th grade students. If you notice up there, it's kind of hard to see with all the commas and semicolons, that we hit every single pathway. And that was one of our goals when we were planning these trips, to make sure that every single pathway that they would be, they could choose or they would be exposed to further down along their high school career, that we provided an opportunity for them to choose a trip that was based on what they might think they would be interested in the future. That was really our foundation, I think, where we really started to hone in and recognize the importance and recognize how important it is at our level. Yes, we know that kids middle school level, or even, you know, after middle school principal level, really have no idea what they want to do when they grow up.
But it's important for us to be able to start putting that foundation and exposing them and creating awareness for them. We took that very seriously. A big part of what we've done recently, what we continue to do, is our unified arts. It's natural. As you're working through studies, as you're working through some of these courses, it's a natural fit. What we've done, this past year, and as we continue to move throughout this year, really take a look at what are we teaching, what are we using those courses for, how are we preparing kids, what are we doing that we should not be doing, that maybe we're doing just because of, maybe 10 years ago was the right thing to do, what things should we continue to do, and where are our needs, where do we need to support our kids. The second point of their financial literacy, one of the first conversations Mr. Joseph and I had when we joined together there was, we got it. Where is this piece? We need a piece of financial literacy. I remember sitting at the high school, I was lucky enough to attend where the industry people came in, where you were sitting on, I forget what it's called. But that was a huge piece for them. Over and over, the financial literacy, our kids don't know what, how to manage that. So one of our goals and what will happen this year is we look at the consumer sign-up curriculum. One of the components of the standards is actually financial literacy piece. So we are honing in on that, making sure that kids, before they leave the middle school, they're all going to get exposed to significant financial literacy opportunities and learning there. We, as you know, our Wildcat Periodic opportunities, they're all over the place. Kids are everywhere. You come at 2 o'clock, it's going to seem like just a like pull the fire alarm or something, because kids are everywhere. But they're heading to the art enrichment. They're heading to work with Mr. Gerner, the National Junior Honor Society. It's like all over the place, which we love. Some people are a little hesitant about that 2 o'clock time frame, but we love it. We love it. It's great. And also, we're currently working on our STEM curriculum right now here in our fourth or fifth day. We just finished up this week. Speaking of STEM, our Connects team, about 40 teams today, one of the most creative approach to solving the problem. So right there just shows us that we're developing some new skills for kids to be critical thinkers and creative thinkers. Our music curriculum, I'm pumped about this one because, especially with what you just said, we are taking a keyboarding course. That we have seen over the years, dwindling numbers and dwindling interest from students. We're incorporating the keyboard now into the seventh grade curriculum. And what the team has decided, the music team, and I wish Scott Kalzak, Mr. Kalzak, was here right now to explain this, because the excitement on his face was so overwhelming, and I won't do it justice. But they're looking at developing a course for next year and offering that's going to involve recording, marketing, some history of music. A lot of the career pathways that you might not think at the middle school level, or even music level, they're bringing this together. And what's so encouraging to me is, when they talk about that course, they're talking about pathways aligned with it. So the conversation is even among our staff, and as we're developing future courses and opportunities for kids, it's a constant focus. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. I got to thank Dr. Fletcher and the administrators and even the staff. Our partnership with ISO has continued to grow. It is amazing. I point out the FBLA. We have a first year Future Business Leaders of America chapter in the middle school. And the high school, one of the very first meetings I sat down, the high school officers came down to meet with our middle school kids that were interested. And it was amazing to watch the high school kids reflect back on when they would have been sitting in that seat at the middle school. And their offer to help, and just the way they've guided our team and our chapter and continues to grow. I could go on and on and on about how we partner with the high school. I mean, our kids are going to courses, you can see a list of them. It's just amazing. And as we continue to develop that, really that secondary campus is what we're looking for. And it's just been an opportunity, it's just always coming up, opportunity for us to partner with them. They send people down to mentor art. It's just amazing. So I want to thank Dr. Fletcher and Scott for that as well. The last thing that we're doing, I'm going to keep the outreach there because it's more than just for us partnering with local businesses. It's an outreach for us, an opportunity. I'm going to share the next slide, and I don't know if it came out yet in the e-weekly about our recycling program that was started. But if you look over there, we started the Y-Cal grant. It's amazing too. Providence Engineering uses virtual reality. The person they're working with, he creates the virtual reality so you can actually tour a home without being in the home. So you're actually touring the home through virtual reality, the actual home that you're looking to buy or purchase or whatever, or design or build. So we're working with him through the Y-Cal grant. Just an amazing opportunity for our kids to get in the community, not only just get in there, but to connect with the community. And I'm very proud as those things continue to grow. Speaking of a recycling program, this is really cool. I think everything you do is cool, but you know, this is really cool. Our students at Harrison Hewitt, it's called Green Team. They are very passionate about the environment, as we all should be. And Mr. Hewitt brought a team to me near the beginning of the year. And so we had this idea, we want to get this going. So okay, here's some things you need to do. We need to be prepared for all the questions, you know, all the F-word, you know, financial impact, that kind of stuff, you know. And so they prepared a presentation and came to me and talked about it. And I was just incredibly impressed with their passion, but also their ability to communicate, and also the steps that they went to. They met with the plant manager of this company, CPG. And the plant manager said, here's what we can do. So let me summarize this. All the things that Penn Waste won't recycle, like white paper, different kinds of cardboard, like toilet paper rolls and paper towel rolls that Penn Waste does not accept, they reached out to this company and found one that does. So what we have is, we have white paper and same thing thrown out. All sorts of things that we can't recycle through Penn Waste are now being recycled. And that all came from them reaching out to different companies saying, we gotta do something here, we gotta do something. And less than 2 weeks, those bins, you can kind of see how big they are based on Mr. Hewitt and the kids standing there, but they were filled in less than 2 weeks with white paper, just from our kids going around, our staff and students making a concerted effort to make sure those things were separated. But I remember Mr. Hound walking by there, Mr. Hound, and saw the white, I think it was the white paper. But how in the world do you get them to collect white paper? You know, because and we so on. But that is an initiative that I'm sure will grow. We're looking at that space. If you promote at the middle school right outside the auditorium, there's kind of dead space there. It used to be a, I guess, a garden or something like that. I don't know. But it used to be, I'm assuming it was wonderful. We're looking at redesigning that space, and that will also become a project as we go through the design process. I'm working with outside companies to do that. But that is the future. But that grassroots effort has just taken off in such a short period of time. So, but this was a perfect example of how we're working through and helping kids discover and uncover their interests. So, that's it. That was not even close to being as cool as the, you know, the musical preview. But I don't know. Any thoughts and questions? That's great. Thank you.
I do have a question. The collaboration with High State, is a collaboration with broadcast journalism and TV studios at the pipeline?
You know, it's already happening. We have kids coming down, and we want to meet with Mr. Finance. We have kids actually coming down to help ours, especially when we troubleshoot and set up at the beginning of the year when there's problems. They're actually coming down and working with us in the morning. So that partnership has already started. Mrs. Matico, Mrs. Bond, and Mrs. Palmer are in communication with them. Just continue trying to figure out how to align that. We're looking at, you know, things like resources. How do we monopolize? We have a TV studio, they have a TV studio. Like, how can we, you know, we're looking at all sorts of different ways beyond just the equipment, you know, like how to run the place. So yes, it has started. Conversations are there. Getting is over the work. You know, from the high school working with us and get kids up there to observe, just to bridge, continue to build that interest to feed that program.
Excellent update, and if I could offer just an observation, it's very gratifying to me and very encouraging to see how the whole pathways concept is taking hold in the middle school. Mm-hmm. And the first step started at the high school, now it's moving down, and it really seems to be embraced by your staff, and it's nice to see that sort of good work.
Thank you.
Are there questions or comments? Thank you. Superintendent's report, Dr. Dahl.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins, and thank you, middle school. Just one comment. I remember sitting in the audience several years ago seeing our current music teacher up here performing as a middle school student. So it's very rewarding to see Vanessa and her first year. Just a great job, and also compliment Dr. Peters and the middle school staff for what they are doing with the path base. I appreciate that. So with that said, the superintendent's report, I want to start with Loganville Springfield. We're very pleased, as the wide community knows, we were able to open phase 1A and 1B. We were able to do that on January 21st, and that has certainly been a game changer for Loganville Springfield community, students, and staff. New sections specifically, several new classrooms, gymnasium, cafeteria, kitchen area, loading and mechanical area, as well as needed office space for the new staff. And as I mentioned, it is, it's been a great blessing to have, and we certainly thank the board for their vision and permission to move forward with the project. And I can never go without talking about Loganville without thanking Dr. Kessler. Certainly, Mrs. Blackwell, for all the work, hours and hours of work, and phone calls and emails, and staying on point with things. And just really, you are making a difference there, and I thank you for everything you've done that way, Dr. Kessler. Moving forward to Science Fair, it's hard to believe 60 years ago, we held our first Science Fair here. It's the annual Science and Engineering Fair. We had 120 students participate, 11 different categories. I want to do a quick shout out to our junior high grand champion, Jeremiah Andrasek, for a project entitled Ballistic Pendulum, and our senior high grand champion, Edna Nia, for her project entitled Instrumentation and Investigation of Phase Antibiotic Synergy. That was only half the title. I put the rest in. I said, I can't even pronounce this, so I've only gave you half of what the project was. But pretty amazing stuff. Thank you to Mr. Elias, the science department, and also a team of scientists from around the area that come in annually to judge these projects. It's a great collaborative effort, and we wish our qualifiers the best of luck at the upcoming York County Fair. Some special news that came in last week for Dallas County Elementary has been nominated for the prestigious National Blue Ribbon School Award. So the school nomination is a distinct honor and reflects the passion, certainly, of Mr. Patterson, who we give great credit for at Dallas County Elementary for leading the ship. The faculty, the staff, and certainly the students, parents, guardians, over the years they've made it a truly outstanding school. So our DTE school team has diligently worked to perfect the school's approaches, teaching and learning, and it is a great honor to be nominated. And regardless of how far it goes, because I know Mr. Patterson's deep in the application right now, please know that we are extremely proud of what goes on there, and the recognition of just being nominated is a distinct honor nationally. So congratulations to Dallas County Elementary. I'm going to break a little bit from previous reports. Previous, we're only in February. I only did one so far. So. But as part of my report, I would like to introduce the board, Mrs. Nicole Montgomery. I did share a few months back that we'd like her to attend a meeting. She's been hired as our coordinator of marketing and communications. I will say that she has already done a tremendous job of gaining a deep understanding of the district, working with our stakeholders, and then trying to improve our communication every day. And I can guarantee that because I work with her every day. So I asked her to share just some highlights of the ways that she's advancing communication in our district and some of her initial projects. So Mrs. Montgomery.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. I first want to take a moment and thank everyone for the opportunity to serve as a position here at Dallas Town. So I've been here about 3 months, and some of the things that I've been working on so far is everyone should have a copy in front of them of the 2019 annual report, fresh off the press yesterday. So this will be available in district buildings, as well as online, published for the community. It will be included in next week's e-newsweekly and distributed. So, this year, I'd just like to sample the format that we've done year over year, and then in the future, looking toward potential other formats for the annual report. We kept Continuing with the E-News Weekly, I'm proud to say that E-News Weekly is now mobile friendly. We're incorporating a little bit of storytelling, some event recap highlights, and photography in that as well. In terms of social media, our Facebook page was activated in January, and from that we continue to see an increase in followers. We're hovering about 3,600 followers on our Facebook page, so for something that wasn't very active, people were still liking the page, so we're seeing a lot of traffic there as well. With this, our Twitter account, we have about 4,900 followers there. We're continuing to keep up Dr. Dyer's presence that he had on Twitter, incorporating some of our own original content and attending those events there as well. So overall, in the month of January, in terms of social media, our content was served to about 111,000 people on our social media pages. That's an increase in 33% month over month with our social media content. So that continues to grow as well. And then the final piece, which is our, I consider our biggest presence, is our website. So with that, I'm conducting an audit of all the content on the website to make sure that we have the most up-to-date current information that's easily accessible with it. And one of the biggest pieces with that is incorporating Google Analytics, which was activated this month, to be able to track where users are going, what pages are more popular, and things like that. And you may also notice that the home page has had a few changes done. We've incorporated some storytelling with some photos and updating the different events that scroll through the home page as well.
So, yeah. Thank you. And again, just making a difference. We are staying to a traditional format for the remainder of the year since we're both starting more midstream. But I think I'm excited with the new start of the upcoming school year, you'll see some great changes as well. So I just appreciate all that you've done for the district, and it's great to be a partner with you.
Thank you. Very exciting.
Just to finalize the report, there are some other accomplishments that we have that certainly highlight the great things going on and engagement of our school community and our student population. Additionally, there's an update on enrollment. We are pretty much holding steady from the last report, so around 6,416 students, and that fluctuates by the day. And additionally, I leave you with just activities of upcoming events, listing of upcoming events, and hopefully you can sort through and participate in some of the great opportunities going on in March, the end of February and March. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Any questions for Dr. Dahl?
Just have a comment. Excuse me. I really like the student enrollment format.
Yeah.
That's really pretty easy to read by grade, sorry about that.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. We'll move to our consent items for the evening. Mr. Fisher, I think you sent out an email earlier today to the HR committee that Mrs. Eastman forwarded it to the rest of us with some late changes to the personnel report. Has there been any in addition to the email?
No.
Okay, good. So I think we're all informed on that. Any questions about the consent items? I'll entertain a motion for approval of the consent items.
I make a motion to approve the consent items as is.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bentzel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The consent items are approved, and we'll move on. We have several action items this evening. First one being approval of settlement agreement for tax assessment appeal. Attorney Saltani, do you want to explain that, please?
Okay, is this on the tax assessment appeal?
It is.
Okay. We are requesting, and I don't have, I think I have the wrong set of documents in front of me. We are requesting authorization to resolve the tax that has presented. And I need to pull up the right one.
We'll
we'll circle back to that. We'll go and give us some time. Okay.
I'll give you one second.
Okay. Let's move on to approval of the board resolution for PDE electronic signature. Dr. Dahl.
Thank you. This is simply a request for permission to use my electronic signature for PDE federal program grants. This was in place with Dr. Dyer, the former superintendent, and it just allows us to utilize an efficient way, a way to communicate with PDE back and forth.
Okay. Any questions? Can we have a motion for approval?
Move to approve action item PDE.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, all those in favor of the resolution regarding the electronic signature indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, action item 8B is approved. We have now a list of attached to your agenda and previously discussed our list of the upcoming board meeting dates for the coming year, and entertain a motion for approval of those.
Move to approve action item 8C as presented.
Motion is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
Questions?
Yes.
Relative to the conversation we had prior to the meeting with dates, maybe I'm missing it. The buildings capital projects are recorded on the chart here as 6 p.m. start.
Yeah, that'll have to be modified based upon our discussion. Good catch.
So how do we approve the meeting dates? Do we amend that, or do we have to push this off until we have to change?
I think ultimately we will approve the dates, and then we'll just change and publicize the times differently. So it won't take additional action outside of the dates will be established, and we'll readjust the time when we publish in the paper.
Okay. Everybody all right with that? I don't think we're changing the dates, just times. So.
No, that's fine. Yeah. As long as I just didn't know we were approving the entire chart, right. Just the dates. We're just approving the dates as a non-issue.
Okay. Good catch. Any other questions? Okay. All those in favor of approval of the board meeting dates, action item 8C, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, 8C is approved. And now Mrs. Houston will move on to the LIU general operating budget.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. I had mentioned this last month in regards to the general operating budget that we approve at the IU. This is the smallest one that we have at the IU. It's the only one that is approved by districts. The good thing is that we are seeing an overall reduction of $157,000. Our contribution is reducing by a total amount of $11,311. So I make a motion to approve the budget.
The motion, is there a second?
Second.
Any questions or comments? Okay. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Okay, congratulations, the budget is approved.
Thank you, everyone.
And we're on a roll. Why don't you try and get approval for the York Adams Academy budget?
Okay, this one is, again, everyone's aware, this is my heart and passion. I love York Adams Academy. They do a lot for our students. We operate in a very tight budget, a very shoestring budget. We try to keep the cost down as much as possible. Unfortunately, this year we are asking for an increase of $100 per seat. We carry 12 seats at York Adams Academy, so that would be an increase of $1,200 for the year.
That, just so you guys are aware, that is not just 12 students over a year or school year. That could be multiple students, because that's just a seat that they need to occupy at certain one time. So I make a motion to approve the York Adams Academy budget.
Second that. The motion is a second. Any questions for Mrs. Houston? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trow?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The budget is approved. Thank you, Mrs. Houston.
Thank you, everyone, again.
Now, Attorney Sultani, if you're ready, we'll circle back up to action item 8A.
We're requesting approval of one resolution of an assessment appeal with respect to the Jewish community center located at 2000 Hollywood Drive in York. We have prepared a settlement agreement that has been reviewed by the Finance Committee and the Board, and we are requesting approval to authorize that settlement agreement as presented and recommended by my partner, Michelle.
Thank you. Any questions for Attorney Sultani? I think we did discuss that previously. I know we did. Yes. Okay. Have a motion for approval, please.
Move to approve action item 8A.
I'll second that. I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Thank you. Okay. Seeing none, all in favor of approval of action item 8A, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Okay, thank you. That's approved. And now we move on to the approval of the 2020 to 2026 comprehensive plan. Dr. Dock.
Thank you, Mr. Levins. Our new plan is to be shared with a compilation of work with many district stakeholders. We certainly thank all the participants for their feedback. The new superintendent, I'm extremely proud of the work, and more importantly, to provide focus and precision for the district in the upcoming 6 years. And we seek your approval this evening.
Any questions before we proceed? Okay, let's we have a motion for approval, please.
Move to approve action item B, F.
I'll second that.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trow?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. The comprehensive plan is approved. Moving on to the action item 8G, which is a district-wide feasibility study, and I'll let Dr. Dahl talk about that.
Thank you. Well, over 20 years ago, the district participated in this last full feasibility study, and we're at a point in juncture in the district, as we spoke of in-depth at our board retreat, to really take a look and analysis of our existing facilities and structures. So we are recommending that we proceed with the district-wide feasibility study that's attached and working, conducting it through RLPS. This study will really allow an evaluation of site and building conditions, educational programs, enrollment capacity, as well as options for future growth evaluation. So with that said, I know that in our previous discussion at the the recent Finance Committee meeting, there was some discussion regarding the overall price tag. And that price tag is $27,000, which we're recommending to use out of the bond fund. Additionally, in collecting stakeholder feedback, what does that entail? There is a specific section in the proposed contract that spells out where we're collecting and how we're collecting key feedback, and it would involve a wide variety of stakeholders. In addition to using what is known as the Crawford slip method, which is described in the proposal. Additionally, I know that Dr. Cutler, myself, Mr. Rohrbaugh will be meeting with our LPS to further vet this in the 28th of February, meeting with our LPS to come up with a more strategic timeline of implementation. So without any questions or good questions, I'm willing to take, but seeking your approval tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Entertain a motion for approval.
I move to approve action 8G, office required feasibility study.
I'll second it.
And I have a motion and a second. Are there any questions or comments?
Just a quick operational question, Dr. Dahl. One of the pages indicates the tentative time frame for conducting the study. At what stages along that path is the board going to be brought into that at the final report or updates along the timeline here?
Yeah, and that's the part where we meet on the 28th. We want to vet out. And what my plan is at the March, we have our upcoming March workshop to really vet that and to seek some additional clarity and feedback. I do believe it's going to be a great opportunity for, I know you've been assigned as well as Mr. Lytle to be part. I think we want to be good partners as we're collecting that feedback to have some board participation along the way too. So I need to first meet with RLPS, vet that, and we'll bring you a more detailed descriptive timeline at the upcoming workshop at the end of March.
Great, very good. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Okay, action item 8G is approved. Moving on to approval of the proposal from the auditors for their work in the upcoming 2019-20 audit. Mr. Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. This has been discussed at numerous previous finance committees, including last week, and it was recommendation to go forward with one more year, and we'll look at doing an RFP for these services in subsequent years. So there's a slight increase of $400 compared to the previous year. So I'm seeking approval. Actually, I'll make a motion for action item 8H, the approval of the auditor for 1920.
I'll second that. I have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Heaston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes.
Did we have a second on that one? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't hear. Thank you.
Okay. Action item is approved. And our final action item of the evening is for student devices that were also vetted in the Finance Committee meetings, and that Mr. Arthur.
Yes, they were vetted in Finance Committee meetings. It's hard to believe that we're in the fifth year of this initiative that we've done here in the district. It's a leasing agreement similar to what we've done other years, and if there's questions for any of the board members, myself and Mr. Moore, I'll be happy to answer them about how the revenue and expenditures is calculated. Because the way PDA makes us report that, but these are crucial to instruction, so it's a committee's recommendation to move forward with it. And I understand there's a reduction from, or there's.
Yeah, there's very good news. When we contacted them based on where the interest was in moving forward at this juncture in time, actually, they didn't have a supply, but we were able to work a deal through Mr. Stauffer's office. They actually, because we're purchasing them so early in the school year, we got a $4,600 reduction cost, so I give just our IT staff, they continue to look at it, so, and work it, so thank you.
Good work, thank you. Thank you. So, with that, I will make a motion to approve action of 8I, the student devices.
I second that.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Okay, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bensel?
Yes.
Mr. Hartman?
Yes.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
Yes.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Okay, that action item is approved. And that ends our action items for the evening. We'll move on to our information items. The first and most exciting of which is the student report, Mr. Retro.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Minithon would encourage school board members to visit Minithon and, of course, to donate. And they would like you to see it, what it's all about. They are also always looking for chaperones, so if anyone is interested, they can contact Mrs. Warner. The annual DPAC ITS Winter Dinner Theater production and ticketing now is a great success. Students receive many compliments on their performance, organization, and work ethic from the community members, as well as from our Chartwells and buildings and ground staff. So we're greatly appreciated with that. On April 17th, the GSA Club will be taking club officers and students interested in growing their leadership role to the GSA Leadership Summit at Penn State Harrisburg. Past GSA Club student leaders who have attended this training are now working with the governor's Pennsylvania LGBT Commission, Dr. Rachel Rabin, Pennsylvania Secretary of Health, and Pennsylvania's Youth Congress. The High School Unified Special Olympics Club is organizing a silent disco to support the inclusion revolution. They are inviting schools that have unified teams or clubs in our area, such as Central, Columbia, Dover, Redline, West York, and North Tech, to come. Dallastown will be hosting the Unified Bocce Ball Regional Meet on Wednesday, February 26th. The winner will advance in the state meet held at the Hershey Giant prior to the PIAA Basketball Championship. And Student Council will be hosting our annual Mr. DHS competition tomorrow. Proceeds will be given to the senior class at 7 p.m. in the auditorium, and admission is $3. Any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Good report. Any questions for Mr. Rashaw? Thank you very much.
You.
And now we have two high school field trips that will be action items next month. Homestead.
Good evening. So briefly, we have two trips that are being proposed. The first is set to go this June. Approximately June 16th to June 25th, and it is to Italy. It is sponsored by Michelle Godfrey, one of our Latin and English teachers. And the cost of the trip is open to students who take Latin or have taken Latin, and the cost is attributed to the student body. So the approximate cost for all inclusive cost of students is approximately $3,700. The second trip that's being proposed, it will not take place until the summer of 2021. That's July 9th through July 18th, and that is to England, London, and the specific location. That is for students that participate in English class, theater study, honors, Shakespeare class, and honors British literature. The sponsor of that trip is Bethany Unier. And the cost, again, all costs picked up by the students and parents, and the approximate the cost for the students is approximately $4,200.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Bumsley?
Is there any established aid for students who want to attend but might not be able to, or like a payment plan?
According to what the reports that I was given at this time, there are not any scholarships afforded to for these particular trips.
Are there any like payment plans, like you could pay monthly or?
Yes, that is a great question, Mr. Rectoroff. The 200 is the It says here, the one to England, $257 per month. So I'm assuming that there is a payment plan. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Is there, with all the crazy viruses and stuff, is there a point on these international field trips like this, after which there's no turning back?
As far as the
students are committed financially?
I believe that there is an opportunity to take out trip insurance, but I can check up on that too, and I'll report back to Dr. Dahl for you.
It's a good point that I don't know if it's going to change it from my decision, but I know some of these trip insurance, I'm careful because since the coronavirus is a known entity, they're not covering that specifically. So I'd like to try to change my decision here, but everybody should be aware of that, that maybe these trip insurances wouldn't fire anywhere, that's what I'm saying.
I do believe it's an excellent point. I will say we are taking a closer look at what's going on around the world with some of these trips, and we have to continue to follow that trend. We want to maintain opportunities, but safety is obviously critical.
I'll have conversations with the sponsors, and I'll be back to Dr. Dahl with that information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Follow-up question for Dr. Dahl on that.
Yes, please.
I don't know if we can warm to this in-depth conversation, we can take it offline. Since the students are paying but it's a district field trip per se, if it would come to a situation, would the district make a decision?
Yes. Yes, the district would make a decision, and I recall, and this is probably going on 10 years ago, we made a similar, had to make a similar decision where we could cancel a trip for safety reasons.
Okay. That's it. That's all. Thank you.
Any other questions about the programs? Okay. Graduation survey of Drs. Dahl and Fletcher.
And I'm going to this up, and if Dr. Fletcher's available in the cheap seats up there, if there's any questions, I would certainly bring him down. But with that said, I want to start with our post-graduation survey. You will recall this previously was a workshop, but we are going to, being in kind of an infant year, a major transition year, we want to share with you some general information. We can certainly expand upon this as requested by the board in the future. But just as a historic context, back in 2012, you recall that the board did ask us to look to integrate a post-graduation survey. At that point in time, it was focused certainly on state compliance, but more importantly, in understanding the Dallastown school experience and how did we do from preparing students for post-secondary opportunities. I think that second piece is critical to where we are right now in the Pathway Initiative, but the advent of that then created the senior survey. There was an anonymous survey, there was a non-anonymous survey for state reporting issues, and as well as the post-graduation survey. So that involved a two-year survey as well as a five-year survey as administered. Just to give you a flow from a timeline standpoint, it gives you a sense of who's been surveyed up to this point in time, and that obviously underlines where we currently reside. And more importantly, last year we spent a lot of time analyzing what we've been doing for the last several years and came to a conclusion, if we truly are Pathways District, are we measuring and collecting relevant data that allows us to take the correct action step? And so we elected to transform the surveys at that time to really comply to more of our Pathway model and more importantly, a greater alignment among the graduation survey, which is now aligned to this two-year-out survey, which is aligned to the five-year-out survey. So you can see some consistency and continuity along the way. There's great benefit in doing such. The difficulty, and I think what we experienced this year, it limits then the data that we collected up to that point in time, since we are asking, in essence, new questions. We did also, though, and I think it was a wonderful step Dr. Fletcher put in place, trying to implement the survey earlier in the school year, and more importantly, having focus groups and conversation with students regarding the data outside of just collecting the data at the end of the year and students go away and we look at the data and we say, what does that mean? We can actually have some good dialogue, and he's done a tremendous job collecting that together. So with that said, the next slide just really highlights the fact that we did collect information for the first time using the survey. We're doing the same thing this year. And that data in a new format is provided to you in a separate attachment. And ultimately, we'll provide you as well some of the trends from a participation rate, looking at our senior survey, we're around 76.65. That has kind of been for transparency purpose, we've been all over the board. It is very difficult, we're finding, to collect data from seniors. Where we have done it online, where we've been over 100%, we do the paper pencil, we're under the 100% and trying to find that sweet spot, and that's why Dr. Fletcher continues to take a close look at that piece. I will say the 2-year and 5-year, we've been sitting right around 35% participation rate for the 2-year and consistently around 25% participation rate in the 5-year, so we're actually trending a little higher than normal. But it is good information, and I'm very excited that you saw what Dr. Peters presented today, 8th grade. We're going to be collecting that information 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade. We can make comparisons to 2 years out, 5 years out, and collect some good information on what we need to do from a programmatic standpoint related to the pathways and a preparation standpoint for the mandates. So with that said, there's plenty of data to review. Certainly Dr. Fletcher and I are available if you have questions. And we look forward to expanding upon this in future years when we have some additional data and some new trends that form from the data.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments about the graduation survey results? Okay. I'd like to thank the senior leadership team and the board for what was an excellent board workshop retreat that was held on January 22nd. I've been through quite a few of those over my years on the board, and this was one of the best, and thank you all for that. Just by way of a brief report, we spent some time in the morning. Dr. Hepler took us through a couple exercises, and we talked about some state of the district and some very interesting collection of thoughts of the various board members, and then spent a little bit of time on board expectations and protocols, but then devoted virtually the entire rest of the meeting to trying to bring clarity and focus to what our strategies were going to be for in light of the continued growth of the district and the capital projects that we're facing over the course of the next several years. And at the end of that, I think we were able to boil it down to just a few items that kind of summarizes where what we agreed to and the direction we would like to take. First of all, we're going to, as previously approved in one of our action items, we're going to conduct the district-wide feasibility study that Dr. Dahl explained, and that will be coming. And then we came up with a 3-year plan for capital projects across the district, and that includes the upgrade and replacement of secondary boilers and hot water systems, and major expenditures relative to the recoding and repairs to the roofs of the middle school and the high school. We talked about how we were going to prioritize and utilize the funds that are in our bond fund. I think we came up with a strategy for doing that. And also spent a fair amount of time trying to bring focus to that massive secondary campus plan and try to call out some of the more practical things that we could tackle in the near term as opposed to the long term. And that includes stadium phases 1 and 2, bus and student parking, and driveway enhancements, and the tennis court project. So those will be gaining some focus and priority moving forward in the short term. And again, I thank you very much for your participation in the retreat. if they want that. Any comments or questions? Okay. We'll move on then to the buildings and capital projects and finance committee reports of the meeting that was held on February 13th. And most of the buildings and capital projects portion of that meeting was devoted to two topics, one being the update on the Loganville Springfield project, which Dr. Dahl spoke to earlier this evening, and the second part was what I just went over, okay, as our capital planning priorities moving forward. So with that, unless there's any questions, I'll turn it over to Mr. Hartman to talk about the finance committee.
Thank you. I'll do my best. Appreciate it. I thank Mr. Lytle for taking me over in my absence last week. A couple things that were discussed in the finance meeting. First was the North Carolina County operating budget, which we voted on a few minutes ago. And also the auditor proposal, which we have voted on a few minutes ago, and the student devices that we voted on a few minutes ago. One of the more significant matters was the budget is now showing the deficit of $1.8 million. And if you just want to, Dr. Dahl's got some comments about that, I just want to point out to the board and anybody else listening. As we've asked the administration to do, they've tightened up the targets on the budget projection quite a bit. So when you tighten up the target, it stands to reason that you're going to miss it from time to time. So I think that's what's happening here. Not something we really need to pay attention to, but also the drivers here that we're going to talk about shouldn't be a surprise to anyone on this board. So I know Dr. Dahl has some comments he'd like to make as well.
Thank you. And I think it's critical, with this board meeting, especially based on the recent committee meeting, there's some communication that I sent out throughout the week related to the budget piece. So I want to spend a few minutes highlighting, where we are financially. Additionally, what are we doing as a result of that forecast moving forward? So we did carefully review anticipated expenditures and revenues at the end of the 2019-20 fiscal year, and we did anticipate that revenues are approximately $113.3 million, while expenses are around $115.1 million, which is a projected deficit, as Mr. Hartman mentioned, right around 1.6% beyond. Which equates to the $1.8 million deficit. Additionally, when we look and anticipate for planning for the upcoming school year, and that's preparing for the 2021 budget, we're anticipating an additional $2.4 million. A good portion of that is making up for lost ground in this year's budget, which equates to, in the next 2 years, a projected deficit of approximately $4.2 million. So the looming deficit is no different than many families experience. I know my family's experienced it as well in their household budget, in the sense of increasing expenses, which lead to require scaling back of certain areas of spending. So I do want to highlight some of the key contributors for the 1920 year that we're facing. An unanticipated shortfall in local revenue below historical trends. High cost of health care benefits in district self-insured medical program, higher than predicted enrollment growth, increased costs for outside placement to meet student needs, and also unexpected surge in tuition costs, particularly cyber and charter. In response to this anticipation, this past week under my direction, we also integrated several curtailments for the remainder of the school year, which can possibly transition into the following school year. We're aware of the challenging situations, and more importantly, we're thankful to be able to partner with our administrative team, our staff, in trying to make some of these curtailments to essentially make sure that we're responsible for the students and ensuring financial accountability. So some of the restrictions, just for public to be aware, we put in place modified administrative expenses, modified expenses for non-essential going expenses, and that would include things such as additional field trips that may pop up from time to time. We're not allowing conferences, transportation costs, intramurals, administrative assignments. We're also looking, and this is a hard one based on The needs within the district, some very limited facility repair expenses for the remainder of the year, some restrictions on technology services and new procurements, and the dreaded limitation of color copying, which has grabbed some attention here across the district. Elimination of non-essential curriculum writing workshops, professional development opportunities, and one that has been very painful to work, but it's something we have commitment to. We currently have several openings throughout the district that are based on resignation that we're not looking to fill until the upcoming school year, trying to be creative in how we go about business. So clearly, this is not how I want to begin my superintendency, but it will be irresponsible in action if we did not take action to put some of these things in place based on the financial projection. So we do have a great team. I thank the leadership team. Once we got through the finance meeting, had a very clear meeting and direction. I also thank the board for their ongoing support as we navigate some rough waters, and we do anticipate those rough waters will continue in the upcoming years. So only as we've proven in the past, working together, linking arms, and trying to navigate being creative in our expression, we'll be able to tackle it.
Anything else? Mr. Harvey,
you want to say that? The only other thing to talk about is an update from the governor's proposed budget. There's a lot of talk to be done about that before it comes to provision. So,
yeah.
We'll let Harry talk about some of us.
Yeah. Very good. Well, I'd like to thank the administration for taking, first of all, for projecting forward the way you have. And inserting a dose of reality into to where we are, and also the very aggressive actions you're taking to deal with it. I think we have a history as we get a little closer to the end of the fiscal period, and for both the projections on the current year and outlook for the budget purposes, things do get a little better. But I think these numbers are so big that it's appropriate at this point that we take it very seriously, and we do have to be creative. You know, creating deficits of that magnitude would take our fund balance to levels that would not be comfortable for any of us. So I thank you for the assertive approach you're taking on that.
Thank you.
On a brighter note, the PSBA liaison.
Okay, this is probably going to be short. The first highlight I had attachment is for the same thing that Mr. Rohrmar gave us, but it's from PSBA instead of ASBO. But on that site, I did find it's. I know some of you have questions. It has like any question, and it gives you any answer you need, whether it's financial on the charter reform, how it started, how they trend versus us. Now I'm sure it might, I don't know what side of the information is coming from, but it looks like it's pretty good information. So if any of you are interested in looking at that, that gives you any answer you or questions to any of your answer you might need. And then, I know we've done this, I think, one other time, and I think probably close to half of the board members weren't here when we did it. So,
and you didn't show up that night, or you were?
No, it's all new. Okay. It's all new people. Okay. Half of us are new that probably weren't. Every now and then, PSBA has us fill out resolutions. And I know some of the past board members that aren't here anymore voted for it or not voted for it, but I figured out it let it up to you guys, but it's on the charter reform. I don't know what good resolutions do, if it's something you're comfortable that you want to do, since it's such a hot topic, but I think a lot of us have access to, you know, our senator and local congressman. I'm sure they know our thoughts. but I guess it's a philosophical question if you guys are comfortable when I'm partaking this PSBA resolution, you fill it out, sign your names, and send it off. I'm not going to dictate what you want to do, I just figured I'd throw it out there and get your thoughts on what you think of resolutions, if they really mean anything or you think they're worthwhile.
Any thoughts on that?
Okay. It's probably well worth what it costs to do it. Nothing.
That's why this is only the second one I've.
It doesn't hurt to do it, but I don't think
this is only the second one I brought before everybody, so I figured we have a couple new members. If they have any thoughts one way or the other, but I'm good with dropping it. I just thought I'd bring it up.
I guess that does kind of tie into my thoughts that I had shared before after my retraining session, that it was just a matter of, you know, everything rolling downhill. So I appreciate that it may not have much traction, but at some point, I feel we do need to start drawing some lines in the sand. And even if it's just, you know, if we can go through the exercise and let them hear it, but it will never be heard if we don't even raise our voice. So I would suggest that we go through the motions of supporting this resolution and at least see what happens.
You know, we'll just bring it up to the next board meeting and have just a vote.
No.
And then I'll recall the poll. So, all right, thanks.
Good.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, very good. The LIU Board Report, Ms.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. We did have a special presentation. This is actually the second presentation. We had one in January, and then we had a follow-up in our February meeting for an on-site clinic. I know part of the years ago we had kind of talked about that idea here in Dallastown. The IU is really probably going to go forward with the next phase, the next step in the analysis of doing this on-site clinic. Because there's so many people employed with the IU, they're hoping that will help with the cost, keeping the cost contained with the healthcare. And they're proposing, the CBIZ is the consulting services that they're working with, and they propose to have, because of the geographical size of the IU, proposing two different sites. One would be at the York Learning Center, which is the old Central High School, and then the other one would be at the New Oxford location, which would require some renovation on both sites, so they have built in those costs. We did agree as a board to move forward to the next step to see, you know, again, continue this analysis and see where we want to go, but it looks promising. It's you know, if the numbers that they give us, it's a cost savings. So whatever we can do to keep those costs down. They did throw out the possibility, if it goes well, they could even open it up to member districts to use the clinic. But that would be far down the path. They first have to have it work with the employees and go from there. So I do have a big, Troy, if you want.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Seaston, was there any communication or discussion on telemedicine in the sense of over the phone versus having a specific clinic?
That would be included.
That is part of the
yes.
Package? Okay.
Yeah, because again, of the geographic roles. Because they have a lot, you know, they have employees out in Franklin County. Even coming to the New Oxford location is a drive. So yes, that is included in one of the proposals is having the telemedicine.
What was the were various constituencies within the IU part of the discussions the association and various other support personnel to try to get a pulse on what the utilization would be?
They did a survey of the employees.
Okay.
That was part of this very thick booklet
yeah.
of information. But yes, they did do a survey of the employees to determine what their usage would be. So again, it's all speculation, but going off of other district, of other districts that are using the IU 13, has how many years have they?
At least five.
Yeah, and so I mean, they've talked to them in length, and I believe, I think CBIZ was the same one, I think, that worked with the IU 13.
Yeah, IU 13 started out with QuadMed and switched to CBIZ.
Yeah, so they're doing their due diligence in order to, you know, determine that this is going to be a feasible option for them.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Very good. Good report. Thank you. And we'll move on to the Your Academy's Academy report. Mrs. Easton.
Yes, I want to thank Mr. Weingart for attending the meeting with me. Since he is our alternate, I wanted to have him come in and just see what the York Adams Academy is about, see how our meetings are run. So I appreciate you coming in.
Great invitation.
See you.
Great experience.
We did have, we were voted on the budget tonight, and thank you again. We went over our audit. We had a clean audit report. It's not a very lengthy audit. Because again, there's not much to us. The one thing I wanted to share was that our business director from the York Adams Academy did meet with some of the business directors of the participating districts, and they just kind of had a brainstorming day, time of, how can we help York Adams Academy, talking about different ways of funding and different things, options. Currently we're housed at York Learning Center. We're paying rent to the IU because the IU joined a very owns that building. So there's different discussions going on about, do we possibly move it, things like that. We're trying everything we can to make this as cost efficient as possible. But it does a lot for our students. It gives us an option for those students that can't fit into the normal school brick and mortar. And I want to share this thank you note. They do ask students to write thank you notes when they graduate. So this one came from one of our students. It says, "Dear Dr. Dahl, thank you for allowing me to further my education in an independent environment and letting me complete high school to the best of my abilities with straight A's. Again, thank you." So we do help a lot of our students, and I appreciate the support of the board and of our high school administration for allowing this to continue.
Very good. Any questions for Mrs. Houston? Thank you. Good reports. The York Adams Tax Bureau report. Mr. Wingard.
The evening was very, very short. Both meetings were incredibly short. The York County Tax Collection Committee met. It was a reorganization meeting. They assigned new committee personnel and new chair people, established the 2020 meeting days. I guess the biggest thing that happened there was the dissolution of the Finance Committee. It was formed, and they never met. Very interesting conversation, but it's due to redundancy. The York Adams Collection Finance Committee is redundant for the York Adams Tax Force, so they just decided to dissolve one committee since tonight the work has been done again. So I thought that was quite interesting. It's still in the government, yes. It's all in the government. The York Adams Tax Bureau, John Holmes of Jackson Township, became the new board president, and beyond brief committee meetings, it was really a lot about the information about the people working in the tax bureau. Very, very short meetings. It took me all the driveway over to sit in the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Wingard? Thank you. And last but certainly not least, the York County School of Technology, Mr. Wingard.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. For those of you who don't know, the JOC essentially runs January through November. There is no December meeting. So this past month was our reorganization. A couple of highlights would be we had a student of the month. You make sure it's supposed to be per day. grade 11 is in the collision repair. So I would like highlighting those things. We also had several student presentations. We're really valuing, it's the all-inclusive day high school experience now. I mean, back in our day, when we entered as a sophomore, now it's a full 9th to 12th grade. If you remember, we've made several investments. This was their first year that they have a full-time music teacher now. So they gave a report in January that that's going very well, and it's really helping with the inclusion of all students. And again, we see the value of our extracurriculars here and our experiences. It's helping to give our students at Tech the full experience. And you're not really, I mean, we're blessed with such diversity and so many different programs. There are several skills groups, so many different, but they tend to be more technical as opposed to athletic. And I'm going to embarrass Kelly, but one of the ones that we heard about today or last time was her husband Todd Kessler runs the Hot Rodders Association. And if you've seen this program grow, but this really has become, I mean, they're competing nationally and holding their own. I believe they were they started off early and they were lucky to get one team together. And they just really built a lot of camaraderie. This thing has grown into, now we have seniors competing. They actually presented two teams this year and took them out to Vegas. And I believe one of the teams was in the top five, and the other one was in the top 10. So they're holding their own, but what is so neat is these gentlemen, and a lot of times the students of the months don't show up all the presentations with all of their commitments. That team was unified, and they were all there in their, you know, race suit or whatever you would call it, their team jersey. And it was just as if it was the varsity club. And it was just neat to see their engagement. And more importantly, they were actually singled out, not just for their performance, but how they represented York Tech in this. And I shared our message that I was more proud that they were representing us and they had the character and they behaved themselves in Vegas the way they did, and that the secondary scores were just as important, or weren't as important as just learning that character early. And that's really what our extracurriculars do for our students. So I just want to make sure that, you know, you hear the appreciation for the investments that we're making for them. A couple things, like I said, with the reorganization. So I was retained as chair for what it's worth. So that gives them some stability still. Again, I think they're on a great trajectory. I also need to let you know that the budget is in progress. It looks, we'll find out next Thursday is our next meeting, but it was on target to be approved. There was the issue of the Lincoln Benefit Trust being underfunded, and that was raised that last time. It looks like there's going to be a resolution to that, or this current budget year that we all did approve will satisfy their payment. So we don't expect any major issues for the budget that we already are on the hook for. So I just want to make sure you have comfort with that. And then with the financing, I just need to make sure we address the conversations, because it appears in the report that was a budget hit for us with our part of our 1.8. Let's be clear on that. It is a fixed cost per student that we, there are kids that we're sending to Tech. The issue that we have, and I'm open to conversation, I think they may think they're doing us a favor because as districts ebb and flow, they see their chairman advocating for Dallas Town. We have great proximity. Maybe they give us a nod, and we've been able to fill some gap where, it, again, it's a flat fee per student. So I think our budget variance is more reflective of the students that are participating than our costs going up. The budgets have been increasing as the 3%.
Increase utilization.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they are our students, and I'm comfortable and I'll advocate for that. I think so. There's two issues that we need to do. Do we take more of a York Adams model where we buy seats and we have more of a targeted enrollment so that we make sure that we have a range that budgetarily we can make sure we address? So we don't, because we also have an issue that the budgets are approved now, we're on the hook. Well, acceptance and enrollments are now coming out, and it's rolling the dice to see what our expense is going to be. So do we get proactive, or do we make sure that we work with better communication between York Tech and our business administration to make sure that we're anticipating, so that when it does show up as a variance, it's transparent and we're clear where that it is, and it's not because costs are ran amok similar to insurance, just saying without there. So I would be glad to represent, I'm your representative. If we want to look at how we're, what our philosophy should be, I would gladly advocate for whatever that direction would be as we move forward. So I just want to make sure we're clear on that. Thank you.
Congratulations on being re-elected as chairman. I did note that your vice chairman is somebody named Blevins, and that's going to hamper you, but I'm sure you'll rise above it. Thank you. That concludes our information items. The calendar of board events is posted for your review, we did decide earlier this evening that starting in the, first of all, that the Human Resources Committee meeting that's listed here for 8 p.m. on Thursday, March 12th will not be held because of a couple of committee members who cannot attend. And then moving forward, the time of our monthly committee meetings will be adjusted, and the Human Resource Committee will meet at 6 p.m. To be followed by the Finance Committee and Buildings and Capital Projects Committee starting at 7 p.m. So that's a change we're going to try to increase meeting efficiencies. And now is the time for any board comments or correspondence.
Let me just say thank you to the athletic department and the specifically the swimming program. Coach McHenry, they asked me to be their announcer this year. They did quite well this year, and I enjoyed my time as their announcer. So thank you to the athletic department for the experience.
Dorothy, last month, Representative Hill had the Board Appreciation Day. For those of you who attended the past, and I was there this year. Kind of a neat experience to go to State Capitol and get to walk on the board there. While I was there on the board, I did meet two representatives from PSB who were there, and had a conversation about how things were going in Dallastown. And I'm rather pointed to know my opinion on the basic education funding. One thing that came up, and quite frankly, and maybe why I'm grouchy about resolutions, but it's not really politically feasible for the state to attack that. I mean, we've all talked about this, but most of the schools and most representatives around the district will be hurt by it. So, but for what it's worth, I did advocate fairly strongly for it. I was there, so I apologize.
Hopefully, the courts will give us some assistance.
This, I can't remember the date exactly, so I apologize. I believe it was last week. I had occasion to be at the York Township Commissioners meeting, at which time they acknowledged our science fair winners. Dr. Gull's presentation indicates that we have our 60th annual science fair. Those of you who know or don't know, Dr. Jones is a York Township Commissioner, former high school principal, my former high school principal here at Dallastown, announced each one of the winners. I, along with Dr. Gull, could not pronounce most of the words in the winning science fair project, but it was nice to see those presentations. In addition to the four winners that there were in Dr. Gall's report, there are two additional winners that the township called out and provided monetary awards to in recognition of their projects relating to stormwater and things that are relevant to township and municipal planning. So that was great to see, and I think all of the students were there in attendance and had the presentation and did their little spiel on them, so it was very nice.
Just real quick, I was able to, along with Mrs. Hotzler and Mr. Hartman. On Tuesday, we toured the intermediate school. So thank you, Dr. Senneth and Mr. Martin, for hosting us in there and showing us everything that's going on, and everything's going great. It's good to go in and see what's going on in the schools, see the students, how great they are. It's amazing every room you walked into and how focused they were. They didn't bat an eye with having three adults that they didn't know walk into their room. Some of, you know, we asked questions sometimes, they answered us. The respect and maturity is great to see. Also the enthusiasm of the students, the staff, the interaction. So I love doing it. I appreciate you taking the time. Today we went into Downtown Elementary with Mr. Patterson. Same thing again. And I can't tell you the last time I've been in the Dallas Town besides just real briefly. It was great to see all the, we got to see every classroom, see everything that they're doing. Again, the students, how focused they are. They're little, and they, again, didn't bat an eye at having us come in, asking questions. They even asked us for help on some things when they were doing their little, their centers and things like that.
Thank you.
Stay away from something. The one I was amazed with, was it the first grade class?
Yes.
The writing, how perfect this one, where she had the perfect penmanship and the words she was spelling, and it was amazing to see what our kids are doing. So again, thank you for hosting us. I know we have the high school and the middle school coming up on Monday. We're going to come in and do the same thing, and hopefully we behave there. Don't cause any trouble, but I do appreciate you guys allowing us to come in, to see everything that's going on, and to interact with staff. I appreciate it.
Good. Thanks for doing that. That's great. Good. Wonderful activities for board members. Anything else? Yeah, I would encourage anyone who can do it and hasn't, particularly if you haven't done it before, tomorrow I think there's two performances of Pirates, the musical.
Mr. Martin is the show this year.
Yeah.
Mr. Martin.
But it's a very neat experience to see the special needs kids up there performing, and I think I'm always touched by it. And I would encourage the ones at 10 and the other ones at
1:30.
If you can make either one of those, I would strongly encourage you to do that. So.
If you can't, perhaps you can do a quick preview, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, I'm saving my voice, John.
This may be live streamed.
Live stream.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Now is the second and final opportunity for any public comment. Anybody from the public would like to make a comment, please come forward. Seeing none, our meeting is adjourned.